right. I will maximize my screen here. Sometimes the camera changes and I feel like I'm really small. Like I need to get the camera, software so I can zoom in. But anyway, I'll just have to be small today. I will go around and greet people in the Cloud Zendo, and then in the Dirt Zendo, people will introduce themselves. So I'll start with Bruce. Susan. Mark. Karen. Dave. Ellen. Bob. Natalie. Pat. Paula. Jim. Oh, another Dave, sorry. Dave B. Paulette. Christina. Melissa. Amelia. Brian. Tyler. Sandy. And in the Dirt Zendo,
Katie.
Linda.
Dennis.
Lori. Shoketsu. Alice.
Warren.
Domio. All right. In terms of announcements, next Sunday is our Jukai ceremony at this time. So if you please come to witness 10 people receive the precepts and formally become Buddhists. And 5 of those will be in the Dirt Zendo and 5 will be in the Cloud Zendo for a nice sense of symmetry. All right. Our March 2023, which seems like a long way away, but it's not too soon to save the date, is our in-person retreat session. And I did, in previous years before lockdown, before we had to cancel everything, we had done 3 sessions, these 4 or 5 day residential retreats, in collaboration with another Dharma Cloud Sangha, the Y East Zen Center, which is located in Sandy, Oregon. And that was really sweet. It was just, wasn't just me, it was their teachers as well. And they are going to be able to collaborate again this time. So I had gone ahead and just slated the dates because I didn't want to wait until we made sure everybody could make it. But Joshin at least will be able to come. And YE Zen Center says, yes, let's make this a joint thing again. So seeing as they're located in Sandy and our retreat center is in Sandy, you know, it kind of makes sense. So that's a sweet piece of news. I think that's all I can think of so far. Any questions about what's coming up or anything else that I should announce that anybody can think of? Okay. So today I am speaking about, I'm calling it Dirt Zendo, Cloud Zendo, One Sangha. So our Dirt Zendo is our physical Zendo space. And a Zendo, Zen means meditation and Do means hall. So it's a meditation hall, it's a meditation space, a space for practice. So our physical space for practice, I'm saying the Dirt Zendo, which I like the way that dirt speaks to the gritty and tangible reality of being together in the flesh. And I have to give credit to Tom Kyosui Schulte, whose participation in the early morning Zazen, Wednesday through Friday, he's been doing that with me since it began. And he's participated in lots of different groups, and some of them virtual and some of them, you know, physical. And so he was the one that I first heard say, oh yeah, this weekend I'm going to go go join a dirt sangha. And I liked that. So, and then the Cloud Zendo is our virtual Zendo space. And I like the fact that clouds are beautiful, and the word, not only is it commonly used for virtual spaces, but it speaks to the expansive and permeable kind of ethereal nature of the virtual space. So, you know, I thought a little bit about the term dirt. I did get an email from somebody saying that that only had negative connotations for them, and they thought it was a really bad choice. And I did look up synonyms, and dirt does have, you know, and dirty has some negative connotations, but I'm hoping that we can think of it more in terms of like a farmer would, you know, dirt, healthy soil. This is where we, you know, root ourselves. This is where we get our food and our nourishment. It's down to earth. And I like the fact that like getting your hands dirty is like really getting involved and taking part. So I think the best part, and I'll be saying more about this, but the best part of the term dirt zendo is that it is humble. Somebody said, well, why don't you call it the earth zendo? And that's like, but the earth is everything. Like the earth is the totality. It includes the sky and the clouds. And the, so it's like, you know, the cloud would just be like this extra thing. We're the earth zendo. So that's just too grand. Because there is a tendency for us to view the whether we are in the space or online, to view the physical Zendo as the real Zendo. I mean, that's kind of what we've been saying, right? Oh, and in the Zendo, here's these people, and then online are these people. So we think of, it's there's going to be, always be a tendency to think of this is the real thing, and then those who are online are just watching or something like that. So I like the fact that dirt is a humble term. So because I think to the surprise of almost everyone involved, the Cloud Zendo has proven to be a rich and vital space of practice. I was actually looking around today. There's still 8 of us in the Zendo, in the Dirt Zendo, and all 8 of us regularly participate in the Cloud Zendo. So we found out about this during COVID, of course. I had always had that Wednesday through Friday early morning sitting online, but when lockdown began, we expanded our online stuff. And it allowed us to continue our practice without missing a single meeting after when lockdown came. And our Sangha grew. And at this point, as I've said in the newsletter, 1/3 of our pledging official members are now from outside of Oregon. We have members from all over the US and in Canada, Brazil, the UK, and Sweden. And then we get participants from elsewhere as well. And 2 of our 7 board members are on the East Coast. And at our hybrid meetings, as such as today, there are often more people in the Cloud Zendo than there are in the Dirt Zendo. And with the, so many, many sanghas ended up needing to offer online participation because of COVID. But then as things have opened up a little bit, sanghas have decided how much emphasis they're going to continue to give to that. Some, you know, want to phase out the online a little bit and emphasize more the in-person. But we, Bright Way Zen, that is me, and with the support of our board and our senior founding members, We are committed to maintaining our Cloud Zendo as well as our Dirt Zendo indefinitely to make this part of our identity and doing our best to create a sense of one Sangha. And this aspiration has some challenges, which I will talk about today. But, this thing has never been done before in the history of mankind. So, naturally, we're going to have to be innovative and face challenges and get creative. So, today I'm going to talk about the qualities and benefits of the Cloud Zendo and then the Dirt Zendo, kind of independently, and then discuss the nature of Sangha and what it means to, create a hybrid community, some of the challenges to that, but also some of the ways that we're trying to make that happen. So, as I mentioned, Bright Way Zen didn't miss a meeting when COVID lockdown began in March 2020. And for a year and a half, so until October 2021, we didn't use this physical space at all. No one came. Cobwebs gathered in the corners. The spiders took over. And we adapted our meetings to be hosted and led virtually, and we all joined from our homes. And before lockdown, Bright Way Zen had about 75 pledging official members. Now we have about 80, between 80 and 85. And we had about 25 or 30 people in the Dirt Zendo for Tuesday and Sunday meetings. And sometimes it peaked up to more than that, but that was pretty constant. When we made the transition to online, I would say maybe between 5 and 10 of our regular participants never made the transition with us. Just Zoom was just not. Either just not their thing, or in the case of some folks, they had to be on Zoom all day for their jobs, and they just could not bear the thought of more Zoom stuff. So we lost some people, but surprisingly, the vast majority of people just made the transition. And I think most of us were surprised how easy and pleasant it was to just join the Sangha in the cloud. I love our Dirt Zendo, but it was really sweet to just head out into my backyard studio at 9:15 on the dot so that I would be present early for the 9:30 meeting. And then at 12:15, I turn the computer off and I'm already home. And my dogs get to sit with me, right? So there was a sweetness to all of that. That, I mean, there was a little part of me that, when it was like, oh, well, I guess maybe we should open up again. I guess maybe we should start meeting in person. And then it was a little part of me just like, ah, that's a lot of work. It's kind of nice to just come out here and sit. And we also had retreats. In the Cloud Zendo, we did some one-day retreats, and we actually did a longer retreat that was just in the Cloud Zendo. And most of us found it very sweet to have the support of Sangha while practicing in our own homes. And then, that we had the structure, we had the support of others, but when we came together to sit and chant, but then we would go off to do silent work practice or a rest period or something in our own homes, and we bring that spirit of mindfulness and practice to our own space. And so it's a really great lesson which we know, but sometimes it's hard to really make real that there's no separation between Zen and our daily lives, that this is about our daily lives. And I think it's also sweet how when we participate in the Cloud Zendo, we often share something of our home space with others. And we're all used to dogs and cats like wandering back and forth across the screen, which I think is sweet. And at times, it feels like a more intimate and personal connection is possible in the Cloud Zendo than in the dirt zendo. Online, we are all face to face. We're all just on the same level. We're all in the same shaped box. We're all just, you know, right there. Many of the social dynamics which can inhibit or cause anxiety for people are much less present. We speak from the safety of our own homes. We can theoretically disappear at any time. And so, therefore, ironically, I think sometimes we're more able to speak freely, open up emotionally, and enter into that kind of intimate and vulnerable space together. And in the cloud zendo, we're never left to mill around a room wondering whether someone wants to talk to us or not. I think a lot of the folks who are attracted to Zen are tend toward the introverted. And so there can be a certain amount of discomfort and stress just in the like, okay, now what do I, and then, you know, do I talk about the weather? What exactly do we talk about? And some of that can still be present in like Zoom social breakout rooms, but there's a certain like, all right, you're all thrown together in a room, so you don't have to pick people or be picked by people. There you are. You talk with those people or you don't talk. So one of the sweetest aspects of the cloud zendo has been, of course, the inclusion of all kinds of people who would not otherwise be able to join us. And of course, this is people who live far away from the dirt zendo, and even far away from any physical Buddhist practice place. So they would have no option, really, to participate in any kind of dirt zendo. People who struggle with physical or mental health issues, who wouldn't be able to attend in person even if they were local. People with underlying health issues who can't risk exposure to COVID. And people with very busy lives who drop in when they can without having to take the time to commute. So I think there's quite a few people who are actually local and could come to the dirt zendo, but sometimes they opt to just join by the cloud zendo because, you know, the day's busy and you don't really feel like driving all the way across town or something, so you just join this way. Certainly the folks from other countries have really enriched our experience. So it's sweet, not just that the Sangha can be offered to all kinds of different people, but all those folks bring a richness and diversity to our Sangha. And some of the people who join the cloud zendo, because they live at a distance from the dirt zendo, participate because they feel a natural affinity for our lineage's flavor of teaching, with my teaching style, with the character of our Sangha. And this is a precious thing. I'm very pleased that our reputation, before lockdown, at our dirt zendo meetings, Brightway had a strong reputation for being really friendly and accessible and welcoming. And we managed to bring that to the online setting. So I'm, you know, I'm very pleased about that. So being able to practice with a Sangha or a lineage or a teacher with whom you really resonate can really make a difference. It really matters. I'm going to be talking about the benefits of participating in a dirt zendo. So those who live at a distance from Bright Way, you know, there's always going to be that question and that trade-off of like, is it worth trying to connect with a dirt zendo or a dirt sangha somewhere and get some of that experience? But I wouldn't be surprised if there's quite a few people who just feel like this is their sangha, this is their home, Sangha, even if they are only in the cloud Zendo. So, and I'm sure there are cloud Zendo benefits that I'm forgetting to mention, and you can speak up and share them later. But one important one, of course, is that we know our Sangha can continue in a vital way no matter what happens with respect to the ongoing pandemic. So right now, COVID vaccinations are required in our dirt Zendo, but masks are optional and we don't bother to social distance. That situation may change in the future. I see more places posting signs saying, you know, please wear masks in our business. And so it's always this, you know, is this tricky decision-making process of, you know, where, what lines do we draw? So, you know, it looks like COVID's going to be around for a while, unfortunately. But there's something really comforting to know that, you know, our Sangha will go on no matter what. Even if, I mean, I am quite dedicated to making something happen in the dirt Zendo no matter what, even if we have to, like, you know, wear respirators and have the windows open and whatever. But it's good to know that we will always have our cloud Zendo. So now I want to talk about the benefits of the dirt Zendo. And doing this is tricky because many of you, for one reason or another, do not have the option of participating in the dirt Zendo. While all of us have the option of participating in the cloud Zendo. So it's a really kind of a one-sided thing. So I don't want my description, if at all possible, of the dirt Zendo benefits to make anyone feel like their practice is lesser or incomplete, or to, you know, feel like you're excluded or somehow permanently left out of the club. One of the most important things we can do to create a sense of dirt Zendo, cloud Zendo, one Sangha is to carefully avoid implying that our in-person practice is special or better or somehow the real thing. And I will do my best to model this, but it really takes all of us. It takes all of us to be intentional about the way that we speak and the way that we refer to events and whatever, to try to reflect that, to be conscientious about it. And, you know, there is going to be the occasional dirt Zendo experience or opportunity, like I scheduled a Sangha picnic in a local park for the beginning of July. You know, that is like, there's gonna be some dirt Zendo stuff. And, but I think we can, you know, express our enthusiasm for that or our appreciation for that while, you know, just being aware that a third of our Sangha members do not have the option of participating in such a thing. So, so all of that said, Zen is about facing the truth. If I were to say there's no difference between the dirt Zendo and the cloud Zendo, I would be lying. There are profound benefits from participating in practice, in the flesh, in the same physical space with others, which can't be fully replicated in the cloud. And I want to talk about these things not in order to make our cloud Zendo, primarily cloud Zendo members, feel sad about what they're missing, but for three reasons. One, to encourage those who have the option to spend some time in a dirt Zendo, whether it's ours or that of another Sangha. Even though it may be easier or more attractive in some ways to just stick to the cloud Zendo. So that's one thing. Two, to make it clear to those of you who participate exclusively in the cloud Zendo why it's important for Brightway to maintain a dirt Zendo? Because I could see the kind of go the other way around, right? Like if you're focused on the cloud Zendo, like who cares about the dirt Zendo? That's just like, because that the two biggest expenses that Brightway has is support for the teacher and, you know, paying our rent. So, you know, to make it clear why this is a valuable part of our Sangha for everybody. And the third is to get us all thinking creatively about ways we might be able to create some of the traditional benefits of in the flesh Zen practice in our virtual space. So there's a precedent for this in our practice in that a lot of what we're aiming for is modeled on monastic practice. It's modeled on a monastery. And we try to take some of those forms and some of the spirit of those forms and put them into this kind of setting of a lay meditation hall. Not because like we're trying to be monks or we're trying to be a monastery, but more because the monastery is just this, you know, really clear, tangible example of what we're trying to do. So it's kind of good to like, oh, that's interesting what they're trying to do there. How could we achieve the same thing in our space, in our different kind of community? So that's where I feel like if you have a sense of what is important in terms of dirt Zendo practice, we might have some more ideas about how to enliven cloud Zendo practice. So in a dirt Zendo, practice is a full body experience. And this is important because ideally Zen practice is something we manifest in every detail of our behavior. And you can't, like there's so many messages and so much we're absorbing through all of our senses in three dimensions that we can't even fully describe all of it. But for instance, when you walk through the door of our dirt Zendo, you will notice our space is well cared for, but quite humble. It's a kind of funky old building. We have to bring water because there's lead in the pipes and we can't drink from the faucets. You know, there's like spots on the floor where there's been remodel and we just covered it up with like rugs instead of, you know, the carpet doesn't reach all the corners. And it's not fancy, but we love it. The small foyer is filled with live plants. People's shoes are taken off and neatly lined up. When people put their shoes in the hall outside the Zendo door, there's a little space left nearest the door for the teacher's shoes, just as a sign of respect. There are little space heaters throughout the building, part of the funkiness of the building. There's only central heat in the Zendo. So in the other spaces, this time of year it's fine, but you know, in the winter it gets really cold in the other spaces. So we have all these little space heaters. And the opener volunteer gets here early and they run around and there's little handwritten signs on each heater about like what setting you're supposed to use when you're here and what setting you're supposed to turn it to when we're away. And so these little handwritten signs. And so you come, you'll see somebody bustling around to heat up the space for people. So the openers go through a whole long list of stuff, turning on the lights and turning on the air purifiers and turning on the heaters. And a greeter parks him or herself in the foyer to be able to greet anyone who comes and checks them off on our all clear vaccination list. And in the winter, this is quite a service job because when you first get here, it's really cold in the foyer. We don't have any heat out there most of the time, right? Because otherwise we'd be heating that space all week long and that's not necessary. So the greeter sits out there in the cold to welcome people. And in the Zendo, like all meditation and sacred spaces, it has an energy to it. You know, a room where people have gathered to practice together for many years. And even though, again, it's not fancy, it's well cared for. The cushions are lined up neatly. There's three altars at the front of the room. The central one has Shakyamuni Buddha on it. Then there's a tall, beautiful statue of Kanzeon and a Manjushri altar, the Bodhisattva of Wisdom. And one of our Sangha members tends live flowering plants, for example, orchids. And these live in our tea room next to a bright window. And one of the things we do when we come is somebody takes those plants and then puts them on the altar. So our altars have flowers, but they're live plants instead of cut flowers. So a huge amount is conveyed by how we move and speak. Great teaching is conveyed without words by how we create these communal spaces and move together. I remember watching my teacher carefully placing her shoes side by side, lining them up with those of others and out of the way of where people were going to walk. And that when I was new to Zen, I just marveled that anyone would give such a tiny little mundane task such attention and care. And I realized, like, I want that, you know? I want to have that kind of appreciation and attentiveness for my life. There's also the, there is a more gentle and natural transition, particularly after practice events. This is something that I've noticed because I participate in both, right? And so the clouds end, it was like, there's something kind of nice, right? You turn your computer off, you're home already. But on the other hand, if it's been a retreat or it's been a check-in or it's been a moving Dharma talk or something, it's done. Now you're all alone, it's over. Whereas if you're in the dirt zendo, we have to put chairs away and we have to clean. And even if you're not sticking around to do a job, you go put your shoes on and in the foyer, you know, you comment on the weather with somebody and you walk out to the parking lot. And so there's this easing in and out of the practice space, which is sweet. And as a teacher, I learn an immense amount about people by watching them. And really, this is true of me as a teacher, but also as Sangha members, we are one another's teachers as well. So all of this applies to how we see each other. So you learn a lot about someone by how they move and speak, and particularly how they enact our traditional practice roles, like chant leader, or greeter, or opener, or closer, or those kinds of things. And the rest of the Sangha sees us in this way as well, and not in order to judge us, but really to get to know us, to have a context for our practice, and to be able to witness the growth we undergo over the years. And we're doing our best to create opportunities to do these practice roles in the cloud zendo as well. And so pretty much any role that can be done via the cloud zendo, we are reserving for the cloud zendo, because obviously there's all kinds of stuff in the dirt zendo that none of you can do. So the really, it's amazing how well you can get to know people through the cloud zendo. But it is still limited in terms of our senses, right? We're limited to hearing and our sight, and sight is limited to like this box and only what is on the camera, and it's two dimensions. So we're just, our senses are more limited in terms of what we can perceive. And sometimes, you know, I don't place a lot of emphasis on this, but people hope for some kind of guidance from me about their spiritual practice. You know, what might I work on, etc. But I often feel something of a loss. And in many cases, I only know people through what you deliberately present at our meetings, and often via the Cloud Sendo. And sometimes that's a lot. But we all present in certain ways. And we tend to avoid situations that make us uncomfortable or reveal our weaknesses or trigger us, right? So it's easy to, for what you get to know only via online, to be limited. Not saying it can be deep, but it's not necessarily shallow or anything, but just it can leave some stuff out. Like I'm on my best behavior when I'm facing the Zoom camera. You are unlikely to see that sometimes I get frustrated. Like what, I can't remember what it was the other day, some Zoom techie thing in the Zendo or whatever, you know, and I will get just like, and if you were in the dirt Zendo, you're like, all right, you know? I mean, you see people, it's harder for us to keep our guard up all the time when we're in the dirt Zendo. Especially if we do a prolonged thing like a retreat. So my example of this, of a story, is we only did this once at a Brightway Zen one-day retreat. We did full Orioki service. So Orioki is the formal style of eating meals, where we each have a set of bowls, and you know, at our retreats we use that style of eating, but we pass the food down the table. But the full traditional style is you sit in the Zendo and servers come around and serve you food. So this is what makes it hygienic, right? Is that you don't touch the food service stuff. If you just pass it down the table, it kind of defeats the purpose. But if it's a server and you tell the server how much food you want, then you know, we don't pass germs as much. Anyway, we did this full deal. And some people were assigned to, like, okay, you put out your Orioki bowls and then you go and you do this serving other people. And as I sat there in the teacher's seat looking out at this, I'm like, oh, wow. Now I fully understand why these formal practices and these formal practice roles are so valuable. Because it was like everyone's karma was just plain as day. You know, so there are some people, and this would be me, right? Who are trying really, really hard to do everything right. And like, if you happen to be somebody who can pull that off more or less, then there's a little bit of pride and arrogance in there, isn't there? And if you're somebody who's trying really, really hard to do it right, but constitutionally you can't really pull that off, then there's this sense of like self-consciousness or anxiety, and then that kind of feeds and makes it all worse, right? Then you make more mistakes. But then there's also folks who are like, I'm not gonna get caught up in that bullshit about trying to do this really perfectly. So then they're kind of lackadaisical about it, right? There's people who hate this formal stuff and they're kind of resistant, like, okay, fine, I'll do this. And all of this is actually revealed also in the way that we eat Orioki and go through that whole process. And I say none of this to be judgmental, because what we find, we all have karma. We all have issues. It's just a matter of what flavor of issue you have. So these kinds of in-person participation things can really vividly let you be seen, for better or for worse. And that's a good thing, in the sense that both the teacher and the Sangha members, assuming that they're acting compassionately and not reactively, they can be more helpful to you when they see that, when they see what it is that you are struggling with. They can offer things that are helpful. So one more thing about the benefit of the dirt cento, and that is challenging ourselves. I talk about this in my podcast episode number 16, Sangha, the joys, challenges, and value of practicing in a Buddhist community. One of the metaphors for Sangha practice is that we're all little sharp rocks and we're being put into a rock tumbler. And by bumping up against one another, we smooth our edges off and then we become smooth and shiny. Another metaphor is, I don't know if you've ever washed potatoes this way, but if you put potatoes in a big bowl of water or a sink and you just bump them up against each other, it washes the potatoes beautifully. So these metaphors are basically saying, like, Sangha gets annoying. Initially, hopefully, Sangha feels very supportive and lovely, and you know, you have things in common with people and there's this support and all this. Maybe you don't feel that right away. Maybe you understand what I'm going to talk about right away, but especially over time, you know, our karma comes with us, and there are certain people in the Sangha who rub us the wrong way, or there's certain ways the Sangha functions that we wish were different, or we da da da. And actually, Mark will be talking about Do Not Defame the Three Treasures on Tuesday in our last precept class, where from in my mind, I say, do not blame the three treasures. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh man, if it weren't for that, or if it weren't for this person or whatever, like, I could practice, my practice would be great. So that, the thing is that there is no perfect Sangha, and this is an opportunity for us to work on our own stuff, because we're all agreeing to do that, right? We're all agreeing to be responsible for our own stuff. So yeah, there's an occasional time if you treat me like crap, I should probably say something about that. But for the most part, I am going to look at my reactivity rather than coming to you and say, will you be different? I go, well, I'm pretty triggered by that. Huh, that's interesting. So I have opportunities to look a mirror back to myself, and other Sangha members' reactions to you will be informative. So that's the kind of thing which I think will, the more that you participate in the Cloud Zendo events, practice roles, whatever, there, some of that can happen. But there is a certain, you know, when you're physically in a space with people, then they can bug you in a whole host of other ways that they can't online. Moving on to cultivating Sangha. So there's our dirt Zendo and our cloud Zendo, and you know, what are we trying to achieve here? So one of the things that's important to remember is that we can have a sense of Sangha without everyone knowing one another. Unless the Sangha is very tiny, there's very naturally subgroups of the Sangha. So even before lockdown, before we did all this stuff online, there were people who came on Tuesdays only and people who came on Sundays only and didn't know each other or what happened on the other day at all. There's only a very small group of people, maybe 10 or fewer, who tended to come to both, or one or the other fairly regularly. So it's not necessarily that we all know one another. And the bigger the Sangha gets, the more we will rely on certain smaller groups or certain events or certain programs to provide that kind of more community and intimacy and getting to know one another. But Sangha keeps us motivated, we learn from others, we feel supported, we know we're not alone. Within Sangha, we make this practice real. and this process starts with the formal Sangha, but then we extend it outward into our other relationships. This is where we practice relationship. It's not necessarily easy, right? But it's easier. At least we all supposedly are sharing an aspiration. And then we can take that out into our family and our friendships. And then the Sangha of the Ten Quarters basically means all beings. So some of the challenges in creating a sense of unified community are the live connection between the Zendos at events. So for instance, Alice today is our Sangha facilitator. So this is a role we're trying to foster, which we used to call it the Zoom tech, but it's really more, it's not just that, right? The point is hopefully for the cloud Zendo and the dirt Zendo to both have a meaningful experience that feels connected to one another. But there are limitations. For example, it's actually easier for us in the dirt Zendo to hear those of you in the cloud Zendo when you say something. Now, for you to hear us in the dirt Zendo is trickier. So people have to come up and sit in the chair right near me and this little microphone. And I think they often end up being pretty hard to hear anyway. But short of like them being, us being face to face, that's kind of the best we can do. So having a sense, maybe we'll come up with something better for that. But having a sense of that then in the cloud Zendo, you can also perceive what's happening in the dirt Zendo. But there are limitations. I had really hoped during the social break that there would be some kind of interaction between cloud Zendo people and dirt Zendo people. But it did not work. It did not work. I figured, okay, maybe one breakout room can just be, accessible here in the Zendo. But the dirt Zendo people just walk away from the monitor and go off and just ignore it. Or they get caught up in conversations, which in a physical space end up being so loud that the Zoom people said, would you please mute yourselves? like we can't talk. We can't hear each other because you're just like, la, la, la. So that doesn't particularly work. So that means there isn't this chance for those who are in the dirt Zendo and the cloud Zendo to just interact informally. But fortunately, like I said, most of us who are in the dirt Zendo also participate in the cloud Zendo at times. So for what it's worth, there's very few folks who show up here who just have nothing to do with the cloud Zendo. And like I said, another challenge is not creating a sense of exclusiveness around in-person events. And like I said, that sense of why should the cloud Zendo people care? Exclusively cloud Zendo people care about the dirt Zendo. But here's some of the things that I think I'm just going to throw out a quick list of things that we're trying. And then hopefully there'll be a few minutes left to chat. First of all, I think it's just valuable to consciously think in these terms. Dirt Zendo, Cloud Zendo, One Sangha. Not even Dirt Sangha, Cloud Sangha, but just these are different spaces we meet. And hopefully we have a sense of One Sangha. And sure, it's different. There's going to be some people only participate in the dirt Zendo, some people only in the cloud Zendo, and how to create more of a connection will be an open question. But also, like I said, the roles, the practice roles, volunteer opportunities, that whatever we can offer to exclusively cloud Zendo folks, we will try to save those roles. Like Yeshe Tsoki was the Kokyo today. doing the, we're calling the bookend Kokyo, the intro with the refuges, and then at the end, the dedication. And that's something that is very easy to do on Zoom. So we're pretty much going to always have that done on Zoom. Let's see. Fingers crossed, our annual session might be an opportunity for some people who primarily participate in the Cloud Zendo to come and be in person. That would just be, I mean, really cool and trippy as well. Like, oh, you, I know we've only seen you on Zoom. Here we are all in one space. So I know that that can be difficult, you know, cost and distance and whatever, but hopefully that will happen. I think it is valuable for Dirt Zendo folks to join the Cloud Zendo sometimes. I know there's at least one longtime member who, she got to be such sweet Dharma friends with Cloud Zendo people that she's like, if I don't participate in the Cloud Zendo sometimes, I'm not gonna see these people anymore. So, you know, she'll do half of the time, she'll stay at home and participate in the Cloud Zendo in order to be able to interact with those folks. And then I do think that we can encourage cloud participation in meetings and programs where people get to know one another better. So this is one of those examples of trying to recreate some of what the benefits of in-person practice in the cloud. And one of the greatest opportunities is our Saturday morning check-in, which is, you know, we really get to know one another. We share a little something about our life and practice. It's very sweet. But there's also, you know, there's the term student program. There is the book group. So there's the podcast discussion group. So I think in these smaller groups, then you have an opportunity to get to know people better and be seen. And then in terms of, this is one that's really intriguing, which I invite ideas, and if anybody wants to, this is one of those things, like somebody wants to run with one of these projects, feel free. So, well, for one thing, how can we interact and participate in the Cloud Zendo that increases physical participation in helping us to really get to know one another? And one of these things will be on Saturday, August 6th from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, Brightway Zen open mic night. So we will be, you know, there'll be folks in the Dirt Zendo and folks in the Cloud Zendo, and we'll just share, you know, play some music. I'll play my accordion. James will offer some music, you know, you read a poem, you, well, who knows what you share. Several folks have suggested really being more explicit on our website and maybe in classes or whatever about how to set up your home practice. I mean, how do you create an altar, and what are recommendations for creating a meditation space, or, you know, really bringing a practice into your home in that physical way? And then one of my favorite brainstorms, which would take a lot of work, but if light somebody's fire, I would love to have a little like ceremony kit that we could send you that would have like a bell and a little mokugyo and a little baby Buddha statue for Vaisak, and a little Buddha dying statue for Nehan, and a little picture of Kyogen for our Founders Day, and a little memorial tablet for Sagaki, so that you could like kind of recreate, you know, oh, it's that ceremony day. Now you're gonna like set your altar up and model, because one of the valuable things about ceremony is that you do something physical, right? You don't just sit and watch. You file up and down the rows, and you offer some incense, and I don't know, it's not elaborate, but you do something. So trying to bring that into the Cloud Zendo, so you're not just like watching what we do in the Zendo, would be really sweet. All right. Unfortunately, that took a lot of time, but I don't mind sticking around for a few extra minutes. If anybody needs to take off, you're welcome. But yeah, open it up for comments and questions.
Well, I might have said it, but I ended up typing it. But I think I'll go ahead and repeat. What a great topic, Domio. And I've been sitting here because I've done both, and I'm thinking about one of the things that's really on my mind during your Dharma talk is the forms. They really, I lose emphasis. They deteriorate when I practice at home. And I think how in person at the Dirt Zendo, I'm so thrilled when I can do three bows with some composure. And I do three bows when I practice at home, but I don't know, it's sloppy. And and I'm thinking how much I would value. I want to do the session in person because I want that. I want to be on time. I want to be not distracted when the dog barks. That, you know, I mean, it could still happen in a session, but the dog is my responsibility at home. She'll go someplace else when I do the in person. And so I'm just thinking about, and I'm just dying to do Orioki again, but I'm going to need complete instruction. I just, the passing and the order and the eat everything that you take, and all of those things I can kind of remember, but I think I don't do any of those when I'm all by myself at home. So I'm, you know, the sashin for me, it will be the closest that I come in my life to any kind of monastic practice. And it will probably still be pretty sloppy, but it will be so improved from what I do at home. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Well, and I want to say too about Sashin that, you know, when I made this, I made the reservation, you know, because I had made several reservations and already canceled them, you know, like maybe we'll have it now. Oh, I guess not. And this time I was like, we are going to do this. Even if, you know, everybody needs to take a PCR test beforehand and we wear masks for the first few days, or we have an outside sitting option, which is going to be really cold in March, but whatever, like we'll do it. We're just like, I will make this happen. Susan.
I thank you so much for your words today. And I think I'm so glad that you talked about work practice together, because I think that's the one thing that it's a very, very important part of our practice life, and we forget about it. And there's no, it's tricky to replicate that in the cloud. Maybe small group sharing about working together, but the the thing about our little session last fall, which was so lovely in the Dirt Zendo, even with the bus stop, because we had the windows open because we wanted extra ventilation. The one thing that's sticky for me still about that session is turning down the opportunity to do additional samu. And the reason I did that is because something was annoying me. And so it's And then I realized that, oh, I could have been cleaning the altars probably. And oh, how sweet that would have been. And oh, how wonderful. So it's exactly right. And very precious. Thank you.
And what was it? Were we ever alone in the Zendo, Susan? I think there was a few occasions where it was just you and me, right?
Oh, sure, because our other friends were dropping in and out, as was convenient, which was a lovely opportunity. But yes, we were.
So Susan and I held the forms together for pretty much an entire retreat, which it can be done. It can be done.
It can be done.
Yes. Brian.
I just wanted to say how grateful I am to Paula for her organizing and sustaining the grief group. That isn't, that wouldn't have been something that would have been in my life without this and without her doing that. And it's been, very moving often and helpful always.
Well, that's an example of we have to realize that we create our Sangha together. So a lot of times when we think, oh, you know, I wish things were this way, or, you know, when we don't like things, or we are critical of things, or something seems to be missing, it's like, well, what are you going to do about it? So, you know, sometimes it's like a matter of, well, if you think there's something that is missing in the Sangha, can you offer it or help organize it? Not always, but Natalie.
I just wanted to be transparent. I'm a I'm a student at Clackamas Community College, and I'm just here attending because I wanted, it's for an assignment that I have. And I just wanted to say thank you for being so inclusive, because it feels very nice and welcoming.
Well, sweet. Welcome. Tyler.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to, I started practicing with all of us at the beginning of COVID, and it was quickly surprising to me how meaningful the relationships that I created over Zoom. I didn't really believe that sort of relationships were like likely with this sort of online thing, but I remember Jinryu made a comment the other day that she was like, now if you bumped into us in a grocery store, she'd be like, oh, hey, Tyler, and just like walk by. Like it wouldn't feel that strange, because it feels, but I was, when COVID kind of started coming to an end, I was getting nervous. I was a little bit worried about how things were going to go, and I just appreciate how much everyone has seen value in it and has been working to keep it around, which has just been so lovely, because I think it would have been pretty easy to be like, well, that was nice, but like, it's, I don't know, like it's a lot of work. But for, and maybe not worth it, but for someone who doesn't have a Sangha nearby, and I'm lucky that I'm at least in the same time zone as you guys, that makes things a lot easier. But just that people put so much effort and care into those of us who are not part of it, and hopefully we'll be able to see each other in person at the retreats or however, that'd be super cool. But it's not going to be perfect, but the fact that there's some honest and caring effort going in to make it perfect, not perfect for anyone, I'm sure. I think that's what matters, is this sort of ongoing attempt to make it work, which is so wonderful. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's what, one of the reasons that we, our board deliberately wanted to invite two members who are from the East Coast, and thus, you know, pretty much they did both actually fly out for Jukai last year. And similarly, it was that, like, you feel like you just, it's amazing. You just know this person, even though you've only met them on Zoom. It's just like, yeah, hey. So that was very sweet. But they, they're exclusively in the Cloud Zendo, and we wanted representation on our board of that, you know, that, because we may end up just making assumptions or forgetting about things that people who participate only in the Cloud Zendo might go, well, hold on, wait a second. So, right. Anything else, Zendo?
I just want to say that you kind of forgot that you do your podcast too. And that sort of fits into this whole idea of, you know, we're all one. And that's how I discovered the Dirt Zendo and the online Zendo. So it's just the Dirt Zendo and the Cloud Zendo. So that is something, that's an element of it too.
Yeah, it's funny because I think I've confessed this before. I do have an ideal in my mind, which some of you may share, just having, if you're familiar at all with classic Zen and Chan literature and teaching, that essentially, I don't know, that essentially you shouldn't say anything at all. And that you should just be sitting hard in a Zendo. And like that, it, in a sense, it's like it's all physical. And it's all about, you know, proximity and being immersed in it and all of that. So, yeah, there's a little part of me just like, I feel kind of inadequate. In my, according to my Zen or Chan ideal, because I spend so much time putting the Dharma into words, but you know, or explaining it, like you never hear celebrations of ancient Chan masters who were really good at explaining the Dharma, right? They were really good at hitting people over the head with sandals and having them, you know, wake up to enlightenment in that one fell swoop. But, you know, I've definitely had people, you know, the different times and situations call for different things, different gifts, and here we are. Who ever thought? I never ever thought, like, you know what I want? I want to form an online sangha. but honestly, the pull to do this came long before COVID because of my podcast, because people were saying, but I love your podcast, but I'm in the middle of nowhere. I have nothing. And we really tried. I tried to create a Zen studies sangha, and it never got a critical mass. But then, because of COVID and Bright Way went online, it already has a critical mass. So it was very easy for it to just open up to my all those Zen studies folks. So now it's all just one thing. All right, well, thank you everyone for being here today. I will say our closing verse. Abiding in this ephemeral world like a lotus in muddy water, the mind is pure and goes beyond. Thus we bow to Buddha. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita. Have a good day.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Domio.